Hi, everybody. I'm Brittany Lewis with Forbes Breaking News. Joining me now is Congressman Richie Torres. Congressman, thank you so much for joining me.
Honored to be here.
I want to talk about where we are right now. Last night, we saw police officers raid Columbia University after protesters took over Hamilton Hall on campus. This resulted in over 100 arrests at Columbia. What's your reaction to what unfolded last night?
Look, I find it outrageous that the president of Columbia University was standing by idly, like a potted plant, enabling the encampment movement to hold the campus hostage for 2 weeks. It's utterly unacceptable. And the police crackdown was preventable and could have been prevented if the president had shown decisive leadership from the beginning. You know, the president easily could have said to the students, if you fail to vacate the encampment, we're going to expel you. We're going to revoke your foreign visas. Like, if there had been a clear threat of consequences followed by action, then the students would have likely vacated the encampment, because no student wants to be expelled. No student wants to have their visas revoked. But when you lose credibility as a leader, then chaos ensues. And so, Columbia University planted the seeds of its own decline.
Some of your fellow New York Democrats did post and speak out against the police raid. I want to read what they posted on social media, and I would love to get your reaction. Congressman Jamal Bowman posted this, quote, "As a former educator, I know how dangerous the overpolicing and militarization of our schools is. This is shameful and unacceptable. Our kids deserve better, our teachers deserve better, and our schools deserve better." And Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez posted this, quote, "If any kid is hurt tonight, responsibility will fall on the mayor and university presidents. Other leaders in schools have found a safe, de-escalatory path. This is the opposite of leadership and endangers public safety. A nightmare in the making." What's your reaction to their thoughts here?
You know, the question that we have to ask ourselves is, should there be consequences for lawbreaking? Right? If you have a set of agitators who are erecting an illegal encampment on private property and breaking windows and doors and holding employees hostage and intimidating and harassing Jewish students with violent rhetoric and blockading entrances, like, do you simply stand by idly and allow the law breaking to persist indefinitely? Or do you hold them accountable? And, you know, one of the most important lessons that I've learned is that there are consequences for your behavior. When you break the law, you face the consequences. Now, obviously, we want the police to act responsibly. We want there to be no excessive force. But the notion that the encampment should have been allowed to persist indefinitely without any response whatsoever, you know, it just strikes me as unrealistic.
Something that sticks out to me in both of these statements is that they refer to the protesters as kids. As we all know, the vast majority of college students are adults. What do you make of that characterization, and do you think it matters?
I'm not going to psychoanalyze colleagues and their comments. I disagree with their comments. And, you know, there's been an attempt to make it about free speech. There's a difference between speech and conduct. There is no First Amendment right to vandalize property. There is no First Amendment right to hold people hostage. There is no First Amendment right to intimidate and harass Jews on college campus. None of those are activities protected by the First Amendment. All of them are crimes punishable by law.
Protesters and supporters of these protesters say that they are demonstrating for peace in Gaza. This is not anti-Semitic. As we all know, there is a difference between criticizing Israeli policy and being anti-Semitic. You posted about this earlier today. You posted this, quote, "Being critical without being anti-Semitic is not rocket science." Can you talk about that a little more and elaborate on that for us?
Look, there's nothing wrong with criticism of the Israeli government. But if you are calling for the destruction of Israel as a Jewish state, then that is not criticism, that is extremism. And extremism should have no place in higher education and in American society. And that is my view. You know, if these protesters were simply advocating for a two-state solution or humanitarian aid to Palestinians in distress, or for even the end of the war, you know, all of those viewpoints fall within the realm of reasonable discourse. But the organizations behind the encampment movement, such as Students for Justice in Palestine and Within Our Lifetime, these organizations openly advocate for the destruction of Israel's Jewish state. These organizations openly glorify the terrorism of Hamas as resistance. Right? These organizations were celebrating October 7th on October 8th. And so the media should stop calling the encampment movement a anti-war protest. It's not an anti-war protest. It's a pro-war protest. It's the purpose of the protest is to declare war on Israel as a Jewish state.
So, do you think that these encampments and protests in general, all throughout the nation, are anti-Semitic inherently?
I do believe that there's a deep rot of anti-Semitism and anti-Americanism at the heart of the encampment movement. I found it telling that the supreme leader of Iran, Ali Khamenei, has publicly endorsed the encampment movement. He's the leading sponsor of terrorism in the world. So that tells you everything you need to know about the true nature of the movement. And then there was the organizer at Columbia University who was caught on video saying that all Zionists deserve to die and that Zionists should be grateful to him for not going out there and murdering him. Like, that's the kind of anti-Semitism that is running through the bloodstream of the encampment movement, and it's horrifying.
Many of your colleagues, Republicans and Democrats alike, have been calling it out. Some of your Democratic colleagues have visited encampments all throughout the country. Do you think your party needs to do more in calling out anti-Semitism?
It would be unfair to judge any party by a small minority. The overwhelming majority of Democrats are committed to combating anti-Semitism. And so the few elected officials who went to these encampments are fundamentally unrepresentative of the Democratic Party at large, and certainly unrepresentative of the Democratic Party within Congress. Most Democrats unequivocally condemn anti-Semitism on college campuses.
You introduced a piece of bipartisan legislation with Congressman Mike Lawler addressing anti-Semitism on campus called the Columbia Act. Can you talk a little bit about that for us?
So there's a real crisis, a deepening crisis of anti-Semitism on college campuses. As you know, Title VI of the Civil Rights Act prohibits harassment and intimidation and discrimination based on race and religion and national origin. The protections of the Civil Rights Act extend to the Jewish community. And yet we've seen a lack of enforcement. The problem is not a lack of law, lack of legislation, it's a lack of enforcement. And so I'm partnering with Congressman Mike Lawler to introduce legislation that would empower the Federal Department of Education to impose a federal monitor, not on every college or university, but only when there is reason to suspect a violation of Title VI. The present state of enforcement is failing Jewish students on college campuses, and so we need to try something new. And there would be value in having a federal monitor who is on site, who sees the facts on the ground with his own eyes, and who's reporting to the Department of Education about whether a particular college or university is complying with Title VI. And if the university refuses to bring itself into compliance with Title VI, then it's at risk of losing federal funding. You know, we have to leverage the power of federal funding to combat anti-Semitism on college campuses, which has persisted unabated for far too long.
Congressman, I am curious because you have been on the forefront of this issue for months now. Like I said earlier, what do you think, when we're in this moment now, is missing from the national dialogue since we're seeing these encampments come up, since we're seeing a spike in anti-Semitism on universities nationwide?
Well, I find that the media has been complicit in whitewashing the true nature of these protests, claiming that these are peaceful protests and that all these people want is an end to the war. And it's just fundamentally untrue. The organizers behind these protests seek the violent destruction of Israel as a Jewish state. These organizers speak in terms of armed struggle and resistance and confrontation by any means necessary. That is not a sign of a peaceful protest. That is a sign of a violent protest. And so I wish the media were more honest about the true nature of the protests that are unfolding in the United States.
Before I let you go, last month there were reports Muhammad Hadid sent you racist and homophobic messages on social media, and he responded by what he called an apology, but he did say this. He called you a shill being used by Israel. What are your thoughts on the messages and his response?
Well, I found his apology to be as fraudulent as the man himself. Mr. Hadid made comments that are so outrageously racist that it shocks the conscience. He said that I, as a black man, that I'm worse than the rats of the New York City sewage system. He said that I should wear a KKK mask to cover that ugly gray-colored face of mine. What he said was shockingly racist, and if he had directed it against a different member of Congress, there would have been public uproar. But because I'm pro-Israel and a person of color, then apparently I'm fair game for racist invective.
Have you been receiving a lot of these types of messages since October 7th?
There is no issue on which I face more death threats and hate and harassment than on the subject of Israel. Yeah.
Congressman,
Every
what's
day.
next? Congressman, what's next for your legislation for this time in our country? Because we're really at a boiling point here.
Look, Congress has to act urgently to pass legislation. It's not enough to speak about the problem. We have to actually legislate a solution. The problem has been persisting for far too long. But this is a moment to strike while the iron's hot. This is going to be the best opportunity we have to confront the crisis of anti-Semitism in the ranks of higher education.
Congressman Ritty Torres, I appreciate your time today. Thank you so much for the conversation.
Absolutely. Take care.